a book, a bike, and some bread. There was a kindergartner who was making some drawings in her class, and her teacher was walking around the room checking on her students' work. And the teacher stood and looked a minute and said, "Well, what are you drawing?" And she said, "Well, I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said, "Well, no one really knows what God looks like." And the little girl replied, "Well, they will when I'm finished." I believe that Jesus Christ is the fullest expression of God, the best portrait of God that we have. And we, the church, are called to follow Jesus, to abide in the vine. We are called to do as Jesus instructed the disciples. So here we have this beautiful reading that Carl lifted up for us about abiding in the vine. And if you look at the back of your bulletin, you can look along as we worship today. Jesus asked the disciples, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." He says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we can't do anything without staying connected to the source of all life and love, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This summer, each Sunday, I will be preaching on different ways to stay connected with God's love, on different ways to grow in our connection with the source of all love and life, in different ways that we might grow in our relationship and deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ. So who here wants to deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ this summer? Amen. Do I see all your hands? Come on, get excited. We're going to worship and we are going to grow in our faith in Christ this summer. Growing deeper in the spiritual life is about being open to the power of the Holy Spirit through things like prayer, through things like Sabbath and servanthood. Last week, you heard Kim speak about some pretty inspiring words about the servant's heart, that the little things that we do are significant. The little things matter. We grow in abiding in the vine as we make these small offerings each day. Now, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes us different from any other service organization out there, right? It's what makes us church. Otherwise, we just look like what any other service organization is doing. We're not effective by any power other than the power of Jesus Christ dwelling in us. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that God uses us to paint a portrait of God for our world. Everything we do reflects an expression of God to those who are around us. In my first week here at Wesley, actually it was only 2 days because we started Thursday, right? I've observed Wesley Church offer hospitality and love for children through the VBS that was offered here. I've observed this church prepare our youth for mission. You've attended to faithfulness in prayer through the internet prayer ministry, and you've kept your doors open to community groups. I am so glad to join you in ministry here. I am already encountering Christ in our midst. But at the same time, I've seen you share the love of Christ with others. I've also heard your concerns about fatigue. I've heard anxiety over your future and over your finances. So this summer, with God's help, I'm going to lead us on a journey toward spiritual health. Spiritual health. Maybe the anxiety that you feel here is not the problem that you think it is. Perhaps It's the very opportunity for us to practice our faith more fully together and strengthen our relationship with God. Spiritual wellness comes as we deepen our dependence on Jesus Christ. In the reading this morning, Jesus described himself as the vine, as the source of life connected to all the branches. Branches have the same lifeblood, the same sap running in them as the vine. Branches are sometimes pruned. They're sometimes fall away in order to bear fruit. This was a very, very important passage for the ancient community of faith. And here's why. The community of faith in John's gospel, those who would have heard Jesus offer that teaching, were challenged by several things. They'd been told that they were no longer allowed to worship in the synagogue. And so letting go of their previous leadership, letting go of their fellowship, must have been very difficult. And Jesus assured them that letting go was okay. That it was just important to abide in the vine, to totally depend on him, so that they could bear fruit. So let's take a minute to consider how we might abide in that vine more fully. This morning, I brought the book that belonged to my grandfather. This book was given to my grandfather in 1912 by Mary Elizabeth Evans, his godmother. My grandfather's name was Blaylock Atherton. He needed this book. He was given this book at a time when he was very young. His father, Captain Henry B. Atherton, had died after the Civil War. He had wounds and he died of pneumonia after the Civil War. And he was raised by a single mother, my great-grandmother, whose name was Ella Blaylock. Ella was the first female physician in New Hampshire. So he counted on this book to help him through those times. Later on, my mother tells me that my grandfather and grandmother did not go to church together, that they didn't attend worship together, and yet my grandpa still took his three little daughters, my mother Nancy, her sister Janet, and Debbie. Yes, I'm named for my Aunt Janet. And he would still take them to church so that they could listen to the gospel together. He was raising this young family during the Depression years. Imagine how much he needed to count on what this book had to offer him during these times of great, great trial. This book that we have here, and this one's a little bit fragile. You'll see it's very interesting. You can look at it a little bit later. It's got, it's an illuminated Bible, as many of them were, so it's got illustrations the whole way through. But this book is only a book unless it is opened, right? But when it is opened and when it is read by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is an encounter with God. Yes, every time we open our Bibles, we encounter God. What an amazing gift that is. I touch this book, and I feel by its very presence a love that drew my grandpa through the years of grieving the loss of his father, and later as it gave him hope through the financial hardship he endured. This book has somehow multiplied its benefits by the very fact that I am standing here now holding it. I never went to church with my grandfather, and it was a rare occasion. My family did medical mission, but it was a rare occasion that we went to church together. I wonder who will be standing holding this book 50 years from now, or maybe 100 years from now. You see, when someone is given a gift from God, it is never intended to stay locked up within one life. but it will spill out over into all the lives of those who share in it. On the back of your bulletin, you'll also see at the bottom the words Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina simply means divine reading. I want you to take this home this week. Read the passage again once. Listen for the word of God in that passage. And then read that passage again and reflect on what it means for you today, what it means for you right now. Practicing Lectio Divina helps us to abide in the Word of God so that we can deepen our dependence on God. One of the laws of physics that seems to be playing into the point that I'm trying to make this morning on abiding in Christ, on our dependence in Christ, and bear with me, I'm not a physicist, but you all know what potential energy is? You know what potential energy is? When a bow is being held and there's tension on the arrow, just before that arrow is released, there's potential energy, and it's measured in something called joules. Are you familiar with that? Okay. So I got a gift for Mother's Day this year, something I had wanted for a long while. It was a bike. And this bike has big old handlebars on it. It's got the step-through frame. I'm getting older, and I wanted something easy. It's called, actually, if you go to and go shopping for bikes nowadays, they call them comfort bikes. So it's got a nice big seat. But the totally illogical requirement for me, the thing that I needed most on this bike, was a basket on the front so that I could put flowers in it. And yes, right now there are daisies just exploding out of this basket on the front of my bike. My dream was and is to ride around the neighborhood and wave and chat with my neighbors. And so, you see, everyone in my neighborhood works, like most neighborhoods today. And it's only on that rare occasion when you have a huge snowstorm that you ever see anyone, right? So that very first maiden voyage, Daniel and I went out to ride in the neighborhood one night, and I was waving my arm, telling Daniel, this is all I want, is just to be able to wave to my neighbors. And sure enough, one of my neighbors came outside. She was on her front door, and she started waving back. So Daniel and I rode down her driveway. I said, come on, we gotta do this now. So we rode down the driveway and we talked with her. We wound up talking with Sana for about 20 minutes, after which I invited her to church. Okay, so this bike, like this Bible, has potential energy. This bike can sit in my garage day after day after day, or I can get out and ride it and enjoy God's creation. I can meet my neighbors. I can get the added benefit of healthy living so I can keep serving God in a healthy way. And all of a sudden, this bike with its basket of flowers becomes more than just something for me. It has the potential to benefit many. And this is where the bread comes in. Jesus was sent into the world to give a clearer picture of God so that we would know who God is. His life, his death, and his resurrection save us. We cannot live apart from Jesus Christ. And so Jesus told his disciples, and you can find this in the 6th chapter of John. Jesus said, my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. We come to this table this morning to abide in the true vine. Our sharing in the bread of Christ nurtures and sustains us for this journey of faith. God in Christ does this for us. God nurtures and sustains us. God empowers us to share love with others. Abide in the true vine, my friends, and the benefits will multiply for generations to come. Amen.